It's a 44-yard field goal. It's the left hash mark. It's a left-footed kicker. Here goes Janikowski to beat him at the gun. Nice man. Beckman's got it down, and Daniel's got it up, and it is good! The Raiders have beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers!
That's a moment that Raider head coach Dennis Allen will remember forever. His first victory in the NFL, and it came against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wow. The head coach rejoins us on the Silver and Black show. Raiders, Steelers, and you get a win and a kick like that. That's some memory, huh?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, the tradition and the history of this rivalry is second to none, really. I mean, all the great Raiders-Steelers games and really all the things that those games really meant. To get a chance to be a part of that rivalry was something special, and obviously to get my first win as a head football coach was something special.
During the bye week, you wanted to analyze your football team, self-scout, obviously, and get healthy. And it looks like, certainly at center, looks like Stefan Wisniewski may come back. How much healthier are you guys in the team we saw in Kansas City?
Well, we're a little bit healthier. I mean, we're going to have Wiz back, it looks like, but it looks like we'll still be down a couple of tackles. We'll still have to fight through the injury process, but the good news, I mean, the week off, even though they may not be ready this week, it puts them closer to being ready for next week.
Jaron McFadden did come back for the game in KC. At times he looked okay. At times it looked like that hamstring was still bothering him.
Yeah, he wasn't 100% healthy, but I think he's a lot closer to being 100%. I mean, I don't think anybody at this time of the year is 100%, but I think he's a lot closer to being there. He's looked a lot more explosive in practice this week, and we need Darren to have a big week this week, just like he did last year against Pittsburgh.
You know, going back to the Kansas City game, you know, a lot was made of the noise and Terrell trying to run away from pressure, but, you know, there are three delay of games you had in that game, and you had to call a couple of timeouts to avoid delay games. But you made a great point with the media the next day with this quarterback, and you know he's running around and things are kind of scrambled. It's tough to get the guys back into the huddle and get that play called in 40 seconds.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, Terrell has to understand whenever the ball's dead, the 40-second play clock starts, so he's got to get back to the huddle. But all the other guys got to help him and get back in there so that when he's there, all he has to do is get in there, call the play, and then we break the huddle and we get to the line of scrimmage and run the play. And that's a lot of the things that you have to deal with a lot of times when you have not only a young quarterback but a young football team.
Well, certainly playing at home will help as far as the noise. He's not going to have that problem, but he's going to have a very difficult defense to deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming in. So when you look at their defense on film, Coach, what are some of the keys you're trying to relay to your quarterback?
You got to be able to stay on schedule. We need to be effective on first and second down so we get into third and manageable situations where you really see them with a lot of their exotic pressures and the different looks and the things that can give our line some trouble, the things that can give Terrell some trouble as far as recognizing what's going on. Those things are occurring on the third and longer situation. So our ability to stay on schedule, to be able to run the ball effectively on first and second down, getting those third and manageable, third and three, third and five type of situations gives us a lot better chance to stay on the field and maintain time of possession, which I think is going to be critical in this game.
When you break the huddle on offense, or don't even huddle at times, you know, just do it quickly, usually against the team, you're looking at their front, you're looking at the safeties. But with Pittsburgh, they're standing up, they're walking around, 43s here, there, everywhere. What are some of the things that Terrell has to decipher to figure out what to do against this defense?
Yeah, well, I think he's got to look at the safeties. The safeties a lot of times will give away what the coverage is going to be as far as, you know, where he needs to go with the ball and his reads in the passing game. And so Polamalu will be one guy that we got to really have an idea where he's at, where he's coming from. Now, the hard thing with him is he's coming from a lot of different directions. So they present a lot of challenges that way. But the guy that can help him with a lot of that stuff is Stefan Wisniewski. And that's why it's a big deal to have him back this week, because he does a great job of the communication on the line of scrimmage, making sure we're targeting the right people in the run game, making sure we're protecting the right people in the passing game.
You mentioned Polamalu, Troy Polamalu, who to me is the ultimate wild card in pro football, because you don't know what he's going to do, and I don't think they know at times what he's going to do. Is that actually the case of how it works, where he has the ultimate freelance to break off a play and just kind of do what he wants?
Well, I think really what the great coaches are able to do, and Dick LeBeau is a great football coach, is he's able to put guys in position, and there's guideline guys and there's rule guys, and the rule guys have to do it exactly the way you want to do it every time. The guideline guys, you know, they just got to be within the framework or what you're trying to do, but you want to allow those guys to be playmakers, and they've certainly done that with Polamalu, and he's been right a lot more than he's been wrong.
You got a guy like that as well, Charles Woodson. They're both going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, those make for good coaches.
Yes, they do. Let's go over to the other side of the ball, Ben Roethlisberger. You've been coming at all angles with blitzes, but the key with this guy, you got to have the right guy to get him on the ground because he's so big and strong, and once he gets outside, that's when he makes his big plays.
Yeah, he's big and strong, and really when you look at him, where he makes a lot of his plays is he pushes up through the pocket, and we got to do a great job of not allowing him to step up through the pocket to buy time. And then we've talked to our guys all week about how strong he is, and making sure that, you know, when you go in there to sack him, you got to make sure you get him wrapped up.
Antonio Brown, he was their number two last year, but he's now the number one guy maybe in the whole league since Mike Wallace has left. They use him in a lot of different formations. They'll snap it to him. He even throws the football every now and then.
Yeah, and you know, I'd rather him throw it than catch it, that's for sure. So, he's a talented player. He's exceptionally fast and quick, and he's probably one of the better route runners that I've seen in a while. I mean, he can run the full route tree. He does a great job of creating separation. So he's a guy that, you know, in the passing game that we got to make sure we take away.
All right. You got his first victory as the coach against the Steelers. Hopefully your next one will be as well. Thanks for your time and good luck on Sunday.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
It's such an honor, and it's something that, you know, I have the award at home right now on my mantle, and it's something that I'll always cherish, and, you know, I always have.
And hopefully you'll win a couple more because you signed a new deal.